Hello and welcome to the Love Lisa podcast, where we talk about all things spiritual and self-help.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode.
What did Brian want to call it?
Yeah, we got Brian here, by the way.
I came up with the title, The Pages of Our Lives.
Yeah, super deep. We're gonna be talking about books that kind of like changed our lives, books that like meant something to us or made us like look at things differently. Janet actually came up with this topic and I was like, yes, yes.
Books are pivotal. I love books.
Yeah.
I love books.
That's just it. We could end the podcast now.
I could read all day if Lisa would let me.
Yeah, that's true.
It's pretty hard to read when you're driving, though.
Yeah. All my days off.
Yeah. Okay, well, I guess we'll just jump into it.
Yeah. What book did you really like, Lisa, that
changed my life? Yeah. I feel like I've had so many books over my life that have been so, like, important to me, or like books that I've read a couple times, but overall it's pretty hard to keep my attention when it comes to a book. Like, I'll start it and then if I go 2 days without reading it, I like forget about it and it's hard for me to come back. So you know a book's good if
Lisa rereads it.
Yes, reread it first of all, or like finish it in like 3 days or something.
Go start to finish.
Yes. Yeah, with like consecutive days. Yeah. So one of the books in 2020 that probably, like, just opened my whole mind. The first one, it's called Witch by Lisa Lister. And it really just reminded me that, like, just the power of being female. And reminded me that I even had power. And that I didn't have to play small. And I didn't have to be a good girl all the time. That I could be wicked and wild and loud and proud. And that was also female. Like, it reminded me that female isn't just soft and gooey, and it can be stand up for my rights. And something within that book honestly just turned something back on in my mind that was gone. And
so it's like it gave you permission to be wild and to be that loud person, that big personality that you have that was...
I had dwindled it. I think it was there for... It's been... I mean, anybody on the outside might say that my big personality's always been there, but I feel like I really... especially the years before, right before that, I was dulling my light so much. And this kind of reminded me, what the hell have I been doing? And reclaiming that word witch. I don't even call myself a witch now because I'm everything. I'm nothing. I don't need a label.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a title, if you will. And I wouldn't say that I'm a witch.
It's a noun, right? So it's putting you in a box, and your essence is far more than just doing things that would be witchy.
Yes. Yeah. Like, it's almost becomes a personality, or becomes like a... this is what I am to people. And it's cool. I did go there for a while because it was like, wow, maybe I'm a witch, you know? But now that I realize it's like, cool, most females are. It's just an energy. I think of a witch as somebody, a woman in her power.
Yeah.
So in that case, we all can be witches. But it also reminded me of like the fact that I had like healing abilities. It connected me back to like the cycles of the earth. Also, just learning about the history of witchcraft was so fascinating to learn, like, where suppression of women came from. And that's just fascinating stuff. Like,
I don't want to, like, cut you off, but I was thinking, what's the male equivalent of a witch?
A sorcerer.
Yeah.
Or like a warlock.
Magician. Yeah, a warlock. Or, yeah, I guess a magician. Yeah. Which is basically just a man and his power, too.
Yeah.
And connected.
Picture, like, Dumbledore.
Yeah. Connected to the elements, and it also brought me into this whole celebration of the moon and the importance of ritual and having like altars and all that stuff. Just felt so
it just
ancient.
Started out of nowhere for you.
I did not have any of those like concepts or understandings before, and then this book taught me like I can do these things. Like, yeah, like they're normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have to be so out there and wild and.
Came so naturally to you too.
Yeah, it really felt like, again, this was all just like it reminded me of something that I had lost and it brought it back. So yeah. That book was so powerful
That's
for me.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you, Brian?
Well, I guess spiritually, yeah, it would be The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you bought it for me for my birthday.
Yeah. Wow. So we're getting some interruptions.
So what was that about? I haven't read that one, but I've heard about it.
It's just a lot about, like, letting go, I think, and, like, not caring so much what people have to say or think.
Mm-hmm.
But what you do. It's been, I don't know. I feel like I have a hard time remembering books sometimes. You know?
That's like, it makes sense because you read it and then you absorb it and it becomes a part of who you are. So
yeah.
Yeah.
You've taken it from the intellectual, I need to figure out what this book is telling me, to, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
And now I don't need,
I don't have to describe it anymore because you've shifted and changed something
true. That
book told you. Yeah.
Yeah, just I feel like it had a lot of messages for me that I needed at that particular time when I first found it and opened it up. And it's just, I don't know, he swears a lot in the book and stuff and, like, just writes like a dude.
Yeah.
Quote-unquote, I guess. Yeah. But it's just, like, I don't know, easy to read.
It was refreshing.
Yeah. I just didn't know that was out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's funny, too, like, how books just seem to show up right when you need to see that message or hear that message.
Yeah.
Well, and especially when I was I didn't know anything about, like, spirituality or any of those concepts, and it just came to me at that time.
And like even Janet just said to me, it almost just gave you permission to not give a fuck. It's like the book came, and at least for me too with the witch one, it just like gave me permission to be me. That probably
that's cool,
similar experience. And that's cool. I've seen that on like top lists. Like people talk a lot about that, and I think he's written a couple other ones.
Yeah, he has a few books. I've only written read the one.
Written a few books. Yeah. No big deal. Yeah. What about you, Janet? Did you have another one?
Yeah. Well, there's a few books. Like I've always been really interested in spiritual stuff and astrology specifically when I was a kid. And there was this one author, my mom used to get me books all the time. She's very instrumental in getting me reading. I read so much more when I was a kid, but the one specific one that kind of went, oh, look at all this magic in the world was Star Signs by Linda Goodman.
Oh.
It came out in the early 90s. And I had, whenever I find a book that I really like, I get the hardback so I can read it sitting up and the paperback so I can read it laying down. So I had both. And
hardcore.
That particular one, Linda Goodman was an astrologer in the 70s and 80s. And she wrote quite a few books on astrology that are really cool. I really like how she does and explains some of the archetypes that astrology shows. Mm. But this particular one, Star Signs, she talks about the magic of numbers. And using numerology, using frequency in the numbers and using different colors to connect with frequencies, using light as a frequency to help shift and change your body.
Wow, this was in the 90s, hey?
Yeah. So that one I found was really, even though I wasn't practicing the spiritual side at that point, I think about it, it probably came in the 80s, the late 80s. Anyway, I wasn't practicing the spiritual side, but I was interested in it. So that one, and I've kept it in my library the whole time. Lots of my books come and go, but that one I've kept.
And it just kind of like opened your, it sounds like it just like opened your mind to like, whoa, there's so much more here.
Yeah, another one too that she explains is lexigramming. And you're starting to see it more. I'm seeing it more. So that's like taking a word or your name and rearranging the letters to get a meaning of it.
Oh.
So, like, you can get a good meaning of what the energy of a person or an event or, like, a book or something like that is by rearranging the letters in it.
Oh, that's interesting. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah. I've seen it. I've actually seen it on TikTok. Some people do it.
Yeah.
That's like rearranging. Cool. Lexicon?
Yeah, it's called lexigram.
Lexigram?
I can't remember now. But anyway, it's rearranging.
That's fascinating.
Anyway, yeah. So lots of mysteries that I'm really starting to get a good understanding of now were started in that book for me.
And do you find, like, sometimes when you go back, like, I don't know, I have this experience too, when I go back and read a book, I'm like, oh, I wasn't even getting that before, but now I got it.
It's like getting a really good book like that opens your mind up enough for your energy, your higher self, your essence, whatever, the God force, the universe, to start to bring in new ideas.
Yeah, and, just to take it in, right?
Yeah, and you don't even know that you're getting those downloads.
No, it's out of your awareness.
Yeah, I've got a lot of books that's happened. Very, they're more esoteric, and esoteric means just harder to understand, harder to digest. Lots of complicated concepts. Where I've read it the first time through, didn't get it at all.
Yeah.
And then I start investigating and I start to get an idea of what it's all about. And then you go back to the book and it's like, oh, that's what they meant.
Have you experienced that before? Like, I know sometimes, like, I read stuff and I know that there's something there, but I can't understand it.
Yeah, like, I guess so.
Yeah.
Even if the terms or whatever are still way above you, I think it's still doing something to you as you read it.
Mm-hmm. Unlocking something.
But I think, yeah, maybe even that, if that was my first spiritual book that I guess it's more self-help, but that first book that I read, The Subtle Art, it just, like, opened up, yeah, I guess my mind a little bit more to all the other books that I've read since then.
Yeah. I just, you speaking about that one reminds me of, like, I mean, we all know, most of us know Doreen Virtue, because she's a pretty big deal in this world, but her book, tiny little book she has that's called How to Hear Your Angels, and I think I read it in, like, one night. It's very small, but she goes in depth of, like, how angels work and how her understanding of the kingdom, and I have always thought, like, oh, angels would be so cool. And, like, I've always been feeling like there was something. But this book gave me, like, belief. Like, it was like, oh, somebody else is talking about this shit and it's real.
Yeah.
And it helped me, like,
confirmation.
Yeah. It just was like, okay. It reminded me that everything that I thought I, like, knew that I used to discount was, in fact, real. And it brought me back into, like, a restored faith that angels were real and that this shit worked.
It's kind of cool, right? Like, you get all these notions and ideas when you're a kid.
Yes.
But nobody talks about it. And then somebody that you don't even know.
Yes.
Wrote a book about what you used to think about all the time. And it's like, oh, nice.
I needed that so much at the time too, to just know that, you know, I wasn't alone, and going, you know, embarking on the, like, hero's journey of, like, unraveling everything that you're not can be so terribly lonely and hard and isolating. And then when I found that book, it just reminded me that I wasn't alone. And it just brought me into, like, okay, I've been working with angels my whole life. Like, I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew I was doing something. Like, and it opened me up also to this acceptance that, like, there's so much that I don't know too. And, like, there's this whole other world that I get to, like, dive into. And it was just new and exciting, especially when I came to it.
Yeah.
And it just taught me practical information on, like, how to talk to each angel, which ones work with which. And, I mean, whether it's all just Doreen Virtue's idea, it still helps you.
Yeah, it helps. Yeah. It gives you a framework to work through so that you understand it from your own point of view. But at least you got, like, this kind of frame.
Yeah, almost like a textbook on, like, how to. And then you develop your own little ideas after. And you work with them and you figure out your own stuff. But it gave me framework.
Yeah.
Someone else could read it and get a whole different meaning
than you got. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, you're meant to get what you need to get out of it.
Yeah.
That's the power of books, man.
Yeah. Well, you don't even need to have, like, those self-help spiritual books in order to get meaning out of something, because some of the best books are fiction and storybooks. Because I know I got a lot of stuff out of Stephen King books. He was, like, my favorite author ever. Again, I had just about every single book of his in hardback and paperback.
Wow. I can't imagine. Did it take up, like, a whole wall?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a couple books.
Yeah, he's got a few. Yeah. But there were a few pivotal ones, like, well, The Stand specifically is one that kind of when we first started, the pandemic started, everybody kept going, oh my God, Stephen King predicted this.
Yeah. Maybe that's how I was trying to think of how I found it first too, that maybe that was around that time.
I think it was, yeah.
When you started reading it.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2020. You have more time on your hands too, probably. Yeah. Part of it, but...
Yeah, I first read that one back when it would have come out, so like 1990 or something, yeah. So when he wrote it, or 85 or something like that anyway. But yeah, anyway, I just listened to the audiobook, and in that particular book, there's quite a bit of stuff in there where it's almost like he was channeling. Mm-hmm. Well, I think he does channel when he writes his books, but
yeah. Write like 100 books.
Yeah, just the spiritual aspect of the old lady that everybody draws around, and the Antichrist that's on the other side, and mm-hmm. yeah, it's very relevant to today's energies of what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
And that's a storybook. And you can get messages.
Yeah,
it's
a fiction. Oh, wow, fiction. Yeah. It's made up.
It's a made up story.
Yeah. Still relevant.
It's still relevant.
Yeah. And I know, Brian, you're an avid Stephen King lover, too, right? Yeah. I feel like that's, 90% of your book.
I don't know why. You can have, 1,000-page book, but it just always captures your attention, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has another book called Insomnia, where he talks about balloon strings.
Yeah, that was one of the first Stephen King books I read, too.
Yeah, and when I saw that about balloon strings, that, reminds me of, our connection. Because everybody has that tether. Yeah, the tether is a good word, that connection.
Yeah, I didn't really get that when I first read it, because it was, years and years ago. But it's,
So
that makes sense now.
Storybook, and the condition of your health has to do with the condition of your tether, your connection to source.
No, that's wild. Yeah. Yeah, I've never read a Stephen King book in my life. I have nothing to add. I've watched a few of the movies, and I get from you.
A lot of his books are just, I feel, follow, I don't know, good and evil, and that whole, the hero's journey. A lot of them can break down to that.
Yeah, and it's just the way he writes that's good, too, he's a good writer.
He's a good storyteller.
Yeah,
very good storeteller.
I've heard it's very detailed.
He can make
detailed.
Stuff very, gruesome. I guess that's what keeps me interested, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And he has a way of writing, too, where it's when you get a really good storybook, it's like watching a movie in your head.
You don't
even realize you're reading. You're just, there's this...
Let's talk about that. That's so cool, because I love that is a thing that we humans can do, we can be reading words, yet it's pictures in our mind. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, so really good books are like that. So even if you're delving into your book, The Witch, and things like that, as we read the words and we start to create an image, a movie in our head, that's how it really gets to
stick
in.
That's so cool. Yeah. But then I just think, when I read a textbook about something, it's really about how the book is written as well.
Yeah.
If you're just reading concepts.
It goes into so much detail. Yeah, if you read a history book, reading about Alexander the Great, you don't really...
Maybe.
I guess you would picture him a little bit, but...
It's he did this here, he did this here, this is what happened on this date.
Or the Bible, how that's written, where it's just a bunch of, it's words, and you're supposed to put them together, but it doesn't necessarily paint a picture thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm 100 pages into Under the Dome, and he's just getting to describe all the characters and stuff. But I guess I kind of cheated and Googled who these characters were, because I didn't know if they were going to come back in this story or not. But they have once or twice now. So I don't know. It's just interesting to see how he develops them as a character, and then you kind of start to paint your own picture of who they are and what they look like.
Have you ever had it too, where you read a name a certain way, the entire book, and then you found out it's not said that way?
Or you go, or a particular word, even if I don't understand what that word means or how to say it, I'll go, in my head it'll be
You just automatically skip over it. I know a big one that people did was Hermione in Harry Potter. I never really read that, but that was a really one that people did not know how to say Hermione, and everybody said all different things, but... Yeah, I'll read a name as Lacey, and her name was actually something completely different. But every time my brain automatically inserted that name in there, and then it just screws with you. Yeah, it's actually Luca or something. I don't know, our brains are so crazy, especially with reading.
Is that how you pronounce your name then? Hermione? That's what I thought it was, yeah.
I think people, when they read it, because there was no movie, right? Mm-hmm. So Hermione, like, people didn't know how to spell, you know? I don't know what people, I just remember that being a collective, like, did anybody know her name was Hermione? Like,
English people did.
Yeah, probably.
People from England
did experience that. Yeah.
So what other books you got over there, Lisa? You got a list.
I do have a list. One of the more recent ones that I read is called Journey into Nature by Michael J. Rhodes. He's pretty big into talking about, like, our connection with nature and keeping that. And I think he has another book called A Walk with Nature or Connecting with Nature. And he does seminars on how to connect. But this book, I think I picked it up from...
I thought I had it at the shop.
The Paper Birch. Yeah. It might have been one of those things at the last minute. I kind of, one of the books that I grabbed, and it covers nothing like,
nothing. But there was something about the book.
Yes, something about the book, and it sat on my shelf for probably about a year. And then just recently I picked it up and it blew my mind. Like, he basically, in that book, he connects with Pan, which is like the, basically the caretaker of Earth and the spirits, and like, helps Mother Nature. It's kind of the male version of, at least from what I understand. He connects with Pan, and Pan takes him on these adventures into literally becoming a rock. So he will experience these full body experiences where he does become a rock, and he sees everything from the point of view of a rock and understands their consciousness.
Oh, cool.
And then he goes into being like a blackberry bush. And he did water, and each chapter is just a different experience that he had of becoming nature, basically. And again, it just, I've always known that that was there, and like, I've never had words to contextualize, but Eric, whatever that word is, conceptualize, I always say that one wrong, what I knew that trees were feeling, but he like actually went into a tree and described what it was feeling. And it was cool to read what I feel like I knew instinctually, and he was putting it into words. Yeah. And I just felt home when I was reading it. I was like, this is incredible. And I have no idea like how he did it or like what it was. This wasn't just some psychedelic trip he was on. Yeah. This was like real spirit connection he had, where he would go into deep states of meditation and literally become a rock in a river, just like lying there watching.
Yeah.
And he had to come face to face with different things that had happened in his life, and he got to see all the different points of view. So he kind of even traveled back to some traumas that he had been through, and he, one in particular, he had an experience with a dog. And he got to see himself interacting, but he also got to see himself as the dog and what the dog was feeling. So he got to see both sides of situations and then understand the whole picture of what happened and the you know.
So cool.
Cool.
It was wild. It felt like a trip. Yeah. Like, I will keep that book probably forever because I want to read more of his stuff, but...
sounds a lot like I was reading I came across a lot of Alice Bailey books. She was an author in the 20s and 30s, right at the big thing of the spiritual movement that happened from, like, I think it was the last time Neptune was in Pisces, because I can't remember how many years it goes, but anyway, there was a lot of the spiritual movement that happened back then too, and some of these like more esoteric books were written back then, but nobody could understand them.
Yeah, they would have been way above.
Yeah, so the consciousness of an atom, she describes that type of process.
Wow, in the 20s and 30s, hey?
Yeah, so where every cell of your body has a consciousness.
Yeah.
So that means, like, everything that's here is made up of these atoms that
everything carry is consciousness.
Yeah. And it pulls itself together to form a rock, or to form water, or to form the plant, or to form Brian, or just
everything.
Without you having to think about it, there's this consciousness behind the scenes that does that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And for us to, like that book you just shared, for us to be able to have the ability to connect in and feel what it's like to be a rock.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it just blows my mind. So that particular book too blew my mind too, because then that's when I started to realize, hey, like,
the sun
has the same molecular, has the same stuff inside the sun that you carry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You are space.
Yeah.
You are stuff in outer space.
Yeah,
space.
I know. It's so cool to think about.
It really is.
Everything's alive.
Yeah. All of it. And too, like, I think sometimes we get so constrained as adults, or like everything just becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. And it's like, why wouldn't I want to live in a world where I could believe in anything that I want to believe in? Like, you know, even just he talks about the connection between, he goes into, I think he becomes air. I don't remember how he discovers, but he discovers the fairy realm. And he discovers, like, the gnome and fairy realm. And he's lying on the grass, like, looking up, and he can just see, like, all the little fairies, like, tiddling from each tree to each tree. And he just understands that they're always there. He just can't see them. And for me, it's like, well, that's just, I want to live in that world.
Yeah.
Like, where I can look at a tree and think, whoa, there's fairies around. Like, why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I want to believe in that magic?
Yeah.
And for me, because I believe it, it's real.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa. Okay.
And these things are showing us, too, to have more reverence for what's around us.
Mm-hmm.
Our, at least Western cultures, anyway, we're all about making everything work for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're here to, like, we build roads through mountains.
Yeah.
Really? Like, I mean, it's amazing and it's helpful, but then there comes to a point where it's overkill, right?
Like, yeah.
We tend to take things too far. We take a good thing and then we, like, go crazy with it.
Yeah, we find gold in the mountain, we destroy the whole mountain.
Yeah, it's coming back to that reverence that it's here to share. Like, the earth is here to share her resources with us to help us, because we are all, we are Mother Earth's children.
Yeah.
We're here.
And we're made from the same shit. Like, you just said, we're all made from the same, like, atoms, molecules, it's all.
Yeah. So I love these books that expand your mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that they just too, it's they're expanding your mind, but they're also just bringing you home. Like, they're teaching you something new, but they're also just reminding you of what your soul already knows.
I'm thinking of those two books that I read too by David Wilcox. I forget the name of it.
I know.
The Source Key Code, are those ones?
Yeah. I forget. I think that's the name of one of them, but there's two of them. The Source Key Investigations or something?
Yes.
But it just kind of talks how there's matter and stardust and everything, like, even like air and water and
yeah.
I think he takes a more, I haven't read his books, but I saw some of his stuff on Gaia TV.
Yeah.
And doesn't he go more, he does more of a scientific
approach
to it, right?
Yeah. He backs it up with science.
Same with Greg.
You devoured those books. They're huge too, and you got both of them, and
they're 400 pages. Yeah.
They're not 400 pages, are they?
Yeah. About that.
Is that a lot? How many books have you?
That one's probably 100, 150.
Oh, really? Okay, I have no concept. You guys are books readers. No. This is... Let me get... We're checking a book right now. This is 273.
Okay, so double the size? Is that kind of...
That is accurate, yes. Okay, I'll let you have it. It's 400 pages. I thought I read
but
more.
But yeah, it's like I didn't really like... maybe fully understand the concepts, but when I was reading it, it was like, wow, I felt like I've always known it, you know?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It just awakens. It's like it turns on a key inside of you, and you don't even know that it's doing it. Like, it turns on a light switch. It's like, oh, yeah, of course.
Well, of course. We talked about it a couple times before, but, like, the great cycle of, like, 25,900 years, and just how everything's
an age.
Connected to that.
It's an age, the precession of the equinoxes. I think it's 2,000 years per precession. So this is like as our solar system is hurtling through space in our galaxy, the stars relative to our galaxy change. So the constellations that we consider the zodiac is the precession of the equinoxes. I mean, I don't know all of it, but so every 25,000, almost 26,000 years, we go through a complete zodiac precession.
Yeah.
Well, and then similar events happen. And
yeah.
Yeah, and then so, it gets broken down even further.
Well, and like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like I don't know enough to talk about it, but even like that, like, ties in with like the Egyptians and how they like even built their pyramids.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Time travel.
And yeah, yeah, he says that maybe they just, I mean, well, it's basically impossible to build the pyramids, so he thought that they built it through like time travel.
Yeah,
no,
just travel through realms and then boom, there's a 4,000
jumping timelines too. Yeah, yeah.
Well, wow, that's crazy. I totally believe that there's something up there with that, and that the ancients the human evolution path is so much older than what we as society thinks of now.
Mm.
So anything is possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely like too, because I know I've already said three books, but I think the book that I'm reading now also deserves, because sometimes we read a book and it doesn't necessarily change our forward, it changes our back, if that makes sense. Like it
helps you clarify things that have happened in the past so that you're able to let them be.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm reading a new book. It's called Love and Spirit Medicine by Shona Holm. I think that's how you say your name. It looks like Shonaga. Like
Shonaga.
I think it's Shona.
Yeah.
We're going to call her Shona. Yeah. This is what we're talking about, right? yeah, so she actually talks about the mushroom medicine and how that led her on her journey to shamanism. And I never fully understood that mushrooms could be such, like, ancient medicine, and that they could actually be used in, like, ritual and stuff. And all my experiences with mushrooms, it was kind of just, well, let's just have some fun. We'll just take a little bit of mushrooms and trip and see what happens and laugh and have a good time. But last summer, we decided to go out into the woods, which I had never done before. I'd never experienced mushrooms in nature. And we decided to take more than I'd ever taken. And it was just kind of going into it not knowing the power that it could hold. And I had an experience that was rather intense. And it was intense.
I'd say that.
Yeah, you were there. You had a great time. But
yeah.
I was very chill. Yeah. I think I took more than you. But I went through a lot of stuff, and like so much grief came pouring out of me, and so many things that I couldn't understand what they were because I didn't know how the medicine worked. And the reason I'm sharing this is because in reading this book, she talks about her experience with using it to heal herself and understand and explore shamanism. And she talks about, she shares each trip kind of that mm-hmm. she went on. And all of them were very spiritual. They'd always give offerings. They were in the woods. Like, it was very consciously done. And she talks about some of the things that I experienced that I couldn't explain when they were happening. Like, remember how I was saying when I came out of it that I felt like the land was crying through me?
Yeah.
Couldn't describe it any other way, but the land was grieving through me. She talks about specifically that, how she had an experience of that, of the land needing her as a vessel to let out energy and cry. And it's just helped me completely come to peace and look back on that event as not so traumatizing and intense. It was just part of one of the ways that the medicine works.
Mm. So you're connecting with the actual earth and feeling the rocks, feeling the energy of the area that has been built up over time.
Yes.
Because humans have energy too. So every human that's been a part of this particular valley has left an imprint of some kind on the energetic field here.
Yeah. 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 And just the way that she shares her experiences, and she has a couple of, you know, pretty traumatizing where she says she was looking at the guy she was with, and like, remember, I kept looking at you and thinking you looked like the green man. And at the time it was really frightening to me because I had never seen a face change before, you know? And she talks about how, funny enough, it's Pan.
Yeah.
The guy she was with was looking like, but a devil-y version, or like a terrifying version. And it just really helped me understand that what I experienced, first of all, wasn't bad. It just was. And it's just part of how it worked. And if I had known that going into that experience, I would have processed that a lot differently. If I'd known that what I was experiencing was normal and that something wasn't terribly wrong and trying to like escape it, it could have dramatically changed the experience. So this book is teaching me a lot about that particular event in my life that I haven't really processed quite yet.
Yeah. Well, and lots of people use ayahuasca is a big one now. Yeah. It's turned into more of a tourism thing to go
trendy,
to go down and do ayahuasca, but it's a sacred sacred practice that you need to have a trained shaman that works with you in order to release, because it's meant to get some of the the darker stuff in your energy field out of you.
I feel like I could use that
Well, no, and just even just knowing going into a medicine that when you open yourself up to that extent, other things can come.
Yeah.
And it's just part of it. Like, she had a terrible experience where a darker entity did take over her.
Yeah.
And it took her a long time to get out of that. And so, again, just having these books, she writes beautifully too. Like, just it helps that she writes unbelievable and she shares like her deep healing and stuff. But knowing what you're getting into.
Yeah. And understanding too, like, these plant medicines are sacred.
Yes.
And what's your intention when you first go into it? Because it's going to amplify that intention. And that's when you attract
the spirits that are meeting
your vibration. So if you're going in to have a fun, good time, you're going to attract the same kinds of spirits that are tricksters, that are not here to help move you forward.
Necessarily,
But if you're going in with the intention and you really feel it inside that this is how I am experiencing me and being
an intention,
a helpful person on the planet, not it changes the outcome.
Totally. It just taught me a lot, and it's helped me process what I went through and know that it wasn't insane and it wasn't necessarily just a bad trip. It's just what can happen.
And it's really cool that you were attracted to a book that could help you explain it and understand it.
And that it's like the exact same experience I had. Like, I couldn't get over what she's saying, that like the lamb was crying for her. I was like, oh my God, I knew I wasn't crazy. Yeah. Like, but I could, It's the books come sometimes not just to help you open up something, but to help you close something too. Yeah. Or look back on something and go, oh, okay, that wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
That just was what it was, because it's just part of it. Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of my last little book that I'm just reading recently. That's just, expanding my mind.
I have one other book to share, too. It's one that I'm reading now, too.
Yeah.
And I don't recall the name of the author, and I didn't bring it with me. Anyway, it's called Initiation. It was written probably in the 70s, the 60s, and it's about a woman's life questioning existence, and then she goes into a past life where she was an Egyptian priestess.
That's why you're attracted to
it. Yeah, and it's Egyptian from past. From so far ago, and explains a lot about the meaning of life and how sacred geometry fits. And anyway, I find it fascinating. I like the scientific side of things in addition to the spiritual side, because I always want to understand, like, how does that fit
with this physical world?
Because there's a reason for it all.
Yeah.
There is a reason for it all.
I feel like David Wilcox too talks a lot about like sacred geometry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's like our framework for this particular universe.
Yeah.
It's there's some natural laws that this universe works under. And sacred geometry helps to explain that.
And it's
different universes operate different ways.
Yeah. It's so cool that we can just go your whole life and like not even really understand any of this, and you can get by and it's fine and dandy, but it's so cool when you can like
And there's books out there. People have gone through this before, too. Yeah. Like, none of this stuff that we talk about on this podcast
is new.
It's people have written books about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and then when there's teachers that come before us to teach us things. And
guide the way.
Guide the way.
Someone's probably written a book about this podcast in a parallel universe.
Yeah, there's this spot. Yeah, exactly. We're written about somewhere. Yeah. No, books are so important and so.
One yeah. other one really did one oh, yeah. for everybody just before we wrap up if we're gonna do it. Yeah, classic one, The Four Agreements.
Everybody's gotta have that on their shelf.
Absolutely.
Never heard of it.
No?
No.
Oh.
And I don't have my glasses with me, so
it basically just says like the four things within yourself that like you need to commit to, basically. Yeah.
And they're very simple.
Yeah.
But when you actually meditate on them or just contemplate them, they're quite profound.
Yeah.
Don't
take things personally. Like, that's yeah, one that's of the four of agreements. It's like, if you can just follow these four, your life will be a lot easier, basically. Yeah. Yeah.
I've heard that from a lot of people.
Be impeccable with your word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're saying something,
you've told me these things before. I remember you saying that before.
if you're going to speak it, make sure that it's a truthful thing. Don't take anything personally, because anything that happens around you is just a reflection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't make assumptions.
Yeah.
And of course, we all know what assume means. Ask that of you and me. And
You've never heard that, Brian. No.
Yeah, assume. That's
awesome.
Ask that of you and me.
Never assume anything, because then always do your best. Doesn't matter if it doesn't have to be perfect, as long as you do your best in that moment.
Yeah, my mom always says, just do your best, and if your best isn't good enough, then so be it. That's what her dad used to tell her all the time too, before any competition, anything. Just do your best, and if it's not good enough, then like, so what?
Yeah.
You did your best.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's a powerful one.
Don't be like a slacker.
Yeah.
But if your best is only getting out of bed in the morning and just getting dressed for the day, if that's your best for that day, then that's okay.
Yeah. I saw this thing, and it was like, showing up every day doesn't have to be like full throttle.
Yeah.
Like, that's not what showing up is. Showing up is just like showing up. That's
it.
Yeah.
It could be half asleep with a ponytail and, you know, like, well, I feel like that's my life right now. I'm trying to self-soothe myself.
Yeah.
But, you know, it doesn't have to be all the time. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to put all these books... If I remember all the ones, I want to put them in the show notes, because people might hear about them and think, I need to read that. So we're going to put them in the show notes.
All of Stephen King's discography.
Every single one of Stephen King's books ever. Okay, I don't think I can write all that
out. No, I think that's a bit much.
Yeah.
But you can look them up online. You can find his website.
Might have heard of them.
We'll mention the ones maybe we mentioned. But yeah. All right. Well, it was nice having you, Brian.
Thanks
for showing up.
You're welcome.
And Janet, as always.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You're welcome.
Ladies.
You're welcome. I don't know.
I always feel weird calling girls guys, you know?
Yeah.
Because everyone just says, thanks, guys.
We're actually women.
No, but you know
what? We're not even girls.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I know.
This could be like a room full of women.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I... All right, anyway, we're gonna chop this up.
Diverge.
No.
I'm so hungry. All right.
Cool.
See ya.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.